In real time, I am watching on the National News Network's Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth giving an update on Operation Epic Fury and what happened over the weekend in taking down the regime in Iran. And I thought it was, first of all, we're very lucky that Congressman Himes obviously represents our state in Washington, but also happens to serve as the ranking member of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. Now, this committee conducts oversight of the U.S. intelligence community. That includes the intelligence and intelligence-related activities of 17 elements of the U.S. government, as well as the military intelligence program. And so I always like to check in with Congressman Himes when major events like what we saw this past weekend happen to kind of get his perspective, and he joins us now for a few minutes. Congressman Himes, thank you. I know there's a lot of chaos. I know you are en route, I believe, back to Washington right now?
Correct, yes.
Okay. I appreciate your time. What, first of all, did you know about what was going to happen this past weekend, and what are sort of your thoughts on what transpired?
Yeah, Melissa, I did hear from the, I'm a member of the Gang of Eight, which means the ranking member and the chairs of the intelligence committees, plus the congressional leadership. So on Tuesday of last week, I was given a briefing by Marco Rubio and a number of other senior administration officials saying that this was being contemplated and plans put in place. Not that a decision had been made. In fact, the decision quite explicitly had not been made at the time. And then, you know, right before the bomb started falling, I did, in fact, get a call from the Secretary of State, but I wasn't able to take it. So, you know, I'll tell you, in terms of the headlines here, two things are true. Number one, this is an awful, terrible regime. The leader who appears to have been killed, Khamenei, who's been presiding over the country since 1979, is apparently gone. That's a very good thing. What's also problematic is that we are now involved in a very complicated and already staggeringly expensive war without any consultation with the Congress. We've already lost four lives, three F-15s, and it's just begun. And Melissa, this is exactly why our founders in the Constitution said that Congress should debate and authorize this kind of activity. Because quite frankly, as this war becomes more expensive, and watch the market as it opens this morning, watch gasoline prices, the president and his people will be standing all by themselves as they got us into another Middle Eastern war.
Okay, so you are calling this a war.
Well, what else do you call it when you're using a good chunk of your Navy, a good chunk of your Air Force, you're killing lots of people? I mean, what should we call it? Of course it's a war, and it's a regional war. The militaries of Great Britain, of the United Arab Emirates, of Qatar are all engaged. So not only is it a war, but it's a regional war in which we've already lost four, and we don't know the details, but we've already lost four American servicemen. So, of course, it's a war.
And so actually, that was going to be one of my questions, because it was really over the weekend hard to get an answer from the president. And I saw many news sources reporting on this. Do we know at this point, Congressman, how many U.S. military members are now going to have to be involved, or kind of what does this mean for our troops? Are they going to have to stay overseas? I mean, what are we looking at here?
Well, so we've got two carrier strike groups, and each aircraft carrier, the Eisenhower and the Ford, have about 6,000 personnel on it. So just the aircraft carriers themselves are 12,000 troops. The USS Ford, of course, was deployed to the Caribbean for the Venezuela operation, so all leave has been canceled for those sailors. And that's just a start, right? We've got air bases in Qatar and a naval base in Bahrain. And so I don't know the exact number, but there are, you know, there are tens of thousands of U.S. troops now engaged and, of course, in jeopardy. And I just pray that, you know, the four killed in actions that we've had already, that that's the end of it. Because, you know, Americans really need to think about how much in blood and treasure they want to spend to support Donald Trump's habit of going around the world and taking out bad guys. We can be the world's policeman. We have the military capability to do it. But do we really want to be the world's policeman when we've got so many issues that we need to focus on at home?
So are you, and I'm curious, Congressman Himes, since this happened, are you already hearing of retaliation from Iran? I mean, again, just because you take out, you know, you cut off the head of a snake doesn't mean that, you know, it's done. Right. I mean, so there's obviously a lot of members of this regime. And when you hear about what the regime has done for many, many years, decades, even to the people of Iran, it's horrible, to your point. Are you already hearing of retaliation?
Sure. I mean, you know, you can just turn on the television and see the missiles going into Israel. My understanding is, and again, I've just heard this from the media, my understanding that is that Israel has already had casualties with the incoming missiles, and Iran is now lobbing missiles at all of the Gulf states, at Qatar, at the United Arab Emirates, at Bahrain, where we have a naval base. So, you know, again, you said it exactly right. Just because you cut off the head of the snake doesn't mean that that snake is dead. And in fact, I fear that over the course of the next couple of days and weeks, we are going to see desperate retaliation on the part of the Iranians. By the way, that's not even talking about the terrorist cells that they have around the world. Again, the historians will unpack the wisdom of this war, but there is a reason why Congress is involved in determinations about going to war, especially from a president who promised us in his campaign that he would not get us into any more new wars.
I'm curious, you know, Congressman Himes, as you just mentioned, could you talk maybe just a little bit briefly about the history of this regime and just the impact it has had, obviously, on the country of Iran, but to your point, how they've even gotten people, you know, all across the world working for them.
Yeah, exactly. So again, two things are true at the same time. You can tell about the concern I have about the wisdom of this war, but since 1979, the regime in Tehran, which replaced an equally murderous regime. The Shah in 1979 was a pretty brutal dictator. But no, the regime that replaced him in 1979 with a fundamentalist, hardcore Islamic radical revolution has been massively destabilizing the region. They've dedicated themselves to the eradication of Israel. During the Iraq and Afghanistan wars, they were responsible for huge numbers of American deaths, and they sponsor terrorism all over the world. So make no mistake, this is an absolutely appalling regime. And in fact, if it goes away, nobody is going to shed a tear for it. But the question is, at what cost and what happens next? I mean, you know, Melissa, that we got rid of a terrible regime in Iraq, Saddam Hussein. Don't think we want to do that again. We did that in Afghanistan after 9/11. Don't think we want to repeat that again. And here we are repeating all that stuff again.
I was wondering if that's kind of a parallel, because I was thinking about that, you know, watching what's gone on now. And again, even though this man, as you mentioned, has been taken out, if we want to call it that, this regime still, again, my concern, certainly, Congressman Himes, is that, you know, you have people who believe in this who have been planted throughout the globe. I mean, terrorists, like we know that they exist. So that's another concern, too, is do we have any kind of a threat already internally here in the U.S., people who align with this regime who are here and we may or may not have identified?
It's always possible. And, you know, I spend a lot of time with our intelligence community. They're extraordinarily good, but it is always possible. Frankly, I'm more worried about Europe and the region. It's a lot easier to get, you know, a cell active in Europe and or in the Middle East than it is in the United States. But no, look, that was very much part of the Iranian strategy. So I fear that we may see some of that. And hopefully our security services will do a good job rolling up, you know, any attempts to actually strike at civilians in the region or in the West.
And my last question for you, Congressman Himes, and again, thank you. I know that you're in transit back to Washington, D.C. right now on a train taking our call here on WACC. So thank you. My last question is, there's a lot of discrepancies online. And again, this is my biggest reason that I sometimes can't stand social media, because you never really know what is true, what is false, what's half true. How do the people of Iran feel about this? That continues. And I don't know why, you know, again. But I'm just curious how they feel about this. I'm not saying you need to speak on behalf of all of them, but there's mixed messages. Like, are the people of Iran happy that this man is gone? Are they hopeful that the regime is going to be taken down finally? Or are they actually, you know, again, feeling more concerned than relief?
Yeah, well, Melissa, we all witnessed the huge protests of a month and 2 months ago, in which, you know, hundreds of thousands of Iranians protested the regime and the brutal, violent put down of those protests. So, you know, what we know is that the vast majority of the Iranian people despise this regime for all the obvious reasons. They actually are very, very friendly to the United States deserve a chance to live under a decent, you know, government that allows them to do, you know, what the Iranian people have always done, doctors, you know, economic activity, small business people, you know, to travel abroad. And so, again, I've been pretty clear about my concerns about what may go wrong here. But, you know, we should also tip our hat to the possibility that it may go right. It may go right. And if so, you know, what a win for the Iranian people. Now, again, the history of our trying to effect regime change around the world is not a good one. So I don't want to, you know, overstate the optimism there. But, you know, yeah, there's no doubt that the Iranian people would love to be liberated of this just terrible, terrible government they've got.
Congressman Himes, I want to thank you so much for, again, just giving us insight after obviously major international news of the attacks in Iran and certainly continuing to follow what happens next. Thank you so much. And I'm sure we'll talk again really soon.
Thank you, Melissa. Take care.
All right. And again, Congressman Jim Himes, obviously from right here in Connecticut, he serves as the ranking member of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. And a couple things he had just said that I thought were really interesting to take away. First is that there was at least a heads up, if you will, to the Intelligence Committee that this was in discussion. Now, there was nothing confirmed, as he mentioned. So you'll see there's been, you know, news headlines as soon as the attack happened that people, I know I saw Senator Blumenthal, Senator Chris Murphy saying to news outlets, including here in Connecticut over the weekend, that they knew none of this was coming. But in fact, the Intelligence Committee at least knew that this was in the works, but did not know of any confirmation. So it was not told to them that this was in fact going to happen, but that it was being discussed and what it was going to potentially look like. Having said that, Congressman Himes, I think kind of balancing both sides to this, right? I think you heard him say that if you live in Iran, you're feeling very hopeful. You're feeling like for the first time in decades, maybe this regime can be taken down. However, to what cost, right? As in, how much is this going to cost us money, but also how many lives are we going to spend essentially to take down this massive regime? And you cannot overlook the fact that this regime is not just in Iran, right? We have members that could be literally as close to us as the United States. People who align with this regime all over the globe. So this is not a matter of just taking out one leader or sending a message to one country. This is a regime that has been built over decades and unfortunately is not just in one place alone. So there's more concern, more questions, certainly. But I do think there is a split. I think there's a split reaction to this. And I think that's fair to be split. I think it's okay to feel like you're worried we're entering into a new war. But again, it's to what end? What is this going to cost America as far as troops are concerned, as far as money is concerned? On the other end of it, though, you've got people who live in Iran who have been waiting for someone to just take out a very horrific, egregious, awful, deadly regime. People, innocent lives in Iran have been murdered for no reason in the thousands by this regime, by their own government. It's wild, but that is a world that they've been living in for decades. And so the people of Iran, which Congressman Himes just said, are celebrating, are feeling like they finally have hope, finally feeling like they could have an actual life. But again, does it bring mixed emotion? Clearly, and I think for very good reason. So we'll continue to track this very closely. But again, I want to thank Congressman Himes. He was not on the schedule today, but obviously after what transpired over the weekend, trying to just get him on for a few minutes just to give some reaction to it. And I think some clarity, because again, people are mostly getting their news on social media. And depending on what your algorithm is, if you lean right, lean left, or wherever you are, you're going to get more of that information that aligns with what you believe. It's important, though, to get all sides of this, because I don't think it's so cut and dry. It's not a total victory, but it's also not a total failure. I think there's a little bit of both here.